In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and I've got your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock ready to go. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Dom Mariani. The gifted singer, songwriter, and musician is based in Perth, Australia. He fronts and is the creative force behind several music projects we feature here in the Underground Garage, including The Stems, DM3, The Majestic Kelp, and Datura 4. The latter has got a new album. It's titled High on the Low Brow, and it's the focus of today's interview. First, though, we'll hear a portion of a single from it, Dirty Laundry. And then I'll be speaking with Dom on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Manfred and his coolest conversations time in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. My guest is Dom Mariani, the Australian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer based in Perth. We feature a number of bands in the Underground Garage of his, including The Stems, DM3, The Majestic Kelp. Today, however, we're focusing on Datura 4. They've been active starting about 2014. Their seventh album is High on the Low Brow, got released last month, and we've been featuring the single off of it, Dirty Laundry. How are you, Dom?
I'm doing well, Manfred.
Good to be speaking with you again, my friend.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned several different music projects or bands you've had over the years, The Stems, DM3, The Majestic Kelp, Stems being kind of the garage rock band, DM3 generally referred to as being power pop, Majestic Kelp instrumental, and with Datura 4, you've got this heavy boogie blues kind of sound and vibe. Did you grow up with all these kinds of music going on around you, or what did you hear primarily when you were growing up?
Look, you know, to begin with, you know, the early days would have been, you know, things like Beatles and Elvis, you know, the pop songs that were on the AM radio at the time, you know, which there was a lot of varied artists that I grew up with. But, you know, the bands I connected with, obviously the Beatles were one of the earliest ones that I can remember. This band, Creedence Clearwater Revival, was really big with me when I was around 13, 14 years old, when I was just starting to get into playing guitar. You know, with the simplicity of those songs, I was able to sort of, you know, I learned some of those tunes and sing them as well. I had a little sort of high school band to start with. And yeah, as things progressed with myself musically at the time, in Australia here especially, we're talking about the sort of early 70s, there was a fairly big sort of blues heavy rock scene with the sort of bands that were going around at the time. And there was this television show that would be here every weekday pretty much. It was broadcast on the ABC here, which is a national broadcaster. And they'd have this little segment for 5 minutes every day just before the news. around sort of 6:30 in the evening, I guess, and they would feature these bands, and I would watch it religiously. And I guess from there, I as a young teenager, we're talking, you know, sort of 16, 17, picking up on these bands that were like the Masters Apprentices and Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs and bands like Carson and stuff, and that they were very much progressive blues, heavy rock bands, and it was a thing that I was drawn to at the time. Obviously, there were the bigger groups from overseas like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Deep Purples and all that kind of thing, but there was always this blues connection, and the guitar teacher that I had at the time was part of that scene. He was a local guitar player that played in one of those bands in Perth, and he was showing me a lot of that that kind of thing. So I have a very much a soft spot for that, and I was buying a lot of those records at the time, you know, as a young 17, 18-year-old. Record collection had a lot of that stuff, and had a little band going on at the time as well, playing some of that. I guess that has stayed with me. As a guitar player, it was beneficial for me, learning how to play guitar and learning about sort of blues and what have you. So, yeah, I guess that's some of my background there with as far as a guitar player goes.
I like that the your guitar teacher, instructor, I mean, he schooled you right then, because here you are back with Datura 4, you know?
Yeah, he was great. His name was John Meyer, and he was in a band here in the sort of early 70s to mid-70s called Fatty Lumpkin. And he went on to play with some notable bands, a band called Rose Tattoo, you may have heard of.
Oh, yeah.
He joined them a lot later on when the original lineup sort of changed, and he ended up joining them. He was like a local hero, guitar hero, and always thought that he should have become, you know, massive or a, you know, worldwide star, but he remained in Perth.
Have you ever brought him up on stage with you guys, with any of your groups?
No. I still kept in touch with John, and my son had lessons from him as well.
Yeah.
But he passed away, sadly, probably a good 10 years ago now. And, I never had the opportunity. But one guitar hero that I did have an opportunity to get on stage with, and it was a guy that I followed around when I was, 18, 19, going to watch pub bands. There was a band called the La-Di-Das. I don't know if you're aware of those guys. They were originally from New Zealand, and the guitar player was named Kevin Borich, great guitarist, and he had a band called the Kevin Borich Express that toured Australia a fair bit. I think he even toured the States. Kevin's still around, and ended up supporting him one time, Datura 4, and he invited me up to do, he still did a great version of All Along the Watchtower, La-Di-Das. This is going back. You can actually see that on YouTube.
Well, I'm going to check that out, because we actually played the La-Di-Das here. Like, how was the air up there? Was a hit they had in New Zealand?
Early psychedelic version of the band.
Yeah.
As they progressed, Kevin became very much more of a guitarist, sort of blues, rock guitar player. And La-Di-Das lasted quite a few years, and then he morphed into the Kevin Borich Express.
Wow. But,
it was a big thrill for me to get up and jam with Kev.
Yeah, and the La-Di-Das. So I know we play How Is the Air Up There, and a lot of those early tracks, really very garage-y, you know. I was going to say the Changing Times was actually the U.S. duo that did it first, and then the La-Di-Das really toughened it up a little bit, you know, the tune.
He's a great guitar player.
So last year in June, just over a year ago, we were talking about a new STEM single, Back to Day, talking about the new Datura 4 album. But how do you delegate or divide your time between these various projects?
Well, not very well, but yes, things seem to tend to cross over. I kind of plan these things that, you know, thinking I'll have this thing done and it'll come in, and then I'll, you know, the next thing will come along and I'll work on that and that will come out. But for some reason, things get held up. as you would probably know, Manfred, recordings don't always go as planned. So whatever reason, you know, they stop and start sometimes. So things cross over. And at the moment, I've got, yeah, the Datura 4 album that's out there, and then a new single has come out. I'm actually talking to you from Madrid at the moment. We're about to commence a tour here.
Oh, I was going to ask you about Datura 4 touring, but wow, that's really great. How long are you in Europe for?
Well, it's the Stems, actually. So
it is the Stems. Okay, okay.
We're crossing over again, but yeah, we kick off tomorrow night, and we're here for a couple of weeks doing a few festivals.
All right, but just in Spain or elsewhere too?
Yeah, just in Spain. Yeah.
And who is the promoter that is handling the tour? And I ask that for two reasons. One, I might know him myself, and also Kurt Baker, who is recording us here, producing our segment. He spent a lot of time based in Spain.
Yeah, it's Gerardo, who has a label and a touring company called Folk.
Yeah, Folk Records.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's the best. He's the best.
He's doing us. Yeah.
Well, please tell him I said hello. You can do that.
I will.
Yeah. Well, so whatever project you've got going on, we love hearing new stuff from them. And the new album from Datura 4 is High on the Low Brow, 9 songs on it. When and where did you record it?
Well, again, it was pretty much the same as every other album we've done. We start off in Fremantle, which is a couple of studios there that we've been using over the years. We go into Track. This time we used a place called Rada Studios, and we did most of the beds there, and then we take it to smaller studios, friends studios, just to do overdubs, and we finally end up mixing it with the same person that's been sort of working with us from the start, a guy by the name of James Newhouse, and he has a studio just south of Perth, and we finish off the records with him, so he mixes up. Mixes it up for us.
Well, I think when Datura 4 is playing live, there's quite a bit of improvisation going on with the band. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, absolutely. We approach it in a way that I'll have the ideas. Either it's a fully sort of formed song or thereabouts, or I'll have a riff, and Warren and I work together quite a bit. Warren's the drummer. And we'll come up with sort of some grooves and then sort of work on those until we get something that will come together as some form of song. And then I'll come up with some lyrics. But we always leave it open for some improvisation because we have Bob Patient on keyboards, who's an excellent keyboard player, and we like to sort of let him go for it, I guess. With whatever flavor that the song requires, plus myself, guitar, and Joe Greck, the other guitarist, we like to sort of work together and give ourselves enough space to sort of come up with things that are kind of live and fresh. Obviously, we rehearse them, so we've got a fair idea of how the arrangement's going to go. But then when it comes to putting it down, we'll go through a few takes until we hear the take that we really like, and if the soloing, for example, sounds great, we'll keep it, so it's pretty much, some of it's made up there and then. It's a one-off go, one-off shot, you might say.
Yeah, it's way cool. We've been playing the tune Dirty Laundry from the new album, and I've read that the song was inspired by a friend of yours that was going through a difficult time. What exactly was happening?
Yeah, I won't go into the gory details, but it's just, I guess it was a few years back now, and when it was all sort of, I think it was a sort of worldwide phenomenon with things, and he was embroiled in a little situation with someone, and the social media thing. A few people sort of got out there and started sort of talking about him, and it just sort of spread quite wildly, I guess, in a way. And he was involved in the music scene. He was booking a venue, and pretty much it almost ruined him. And I watched it happen. I just think he got made an example of, and just watching the whole thing unfold and the people who were coming out and sort of criticising and saying things about him that weren't true, it was just quite, quite sad and quite wrong at the time. He's since moved on and he's doing quite well now. He's sort of gone into the restaurant business. But that was a really difficult time for him. And as we all know, people can really abuse the social media platform to try and bring people down for whatever reason. It can be a pretty dangerous platform for things like that, you know. And people you don't even know, people that wouldn't even have an idea of what's going on, just like to put in their opinions, and it can really mess with people's lives.
On the album, before the song actually kicks in, there's this really cool slide guitar part going on. Are you playing that, or who's playing the slide?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's on a $90 guitar that I found in a secondhand shop that just sounded great for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that's in actual fact, that's kind of the demo of the song, which we recorded in a very small space when we were sort of putting the song together. So we recorded that separately, and we recorded the song as a demo, the whole thing, just, and then we kept that part of it and added that to the actual recording when we went and did it for real.
Another favorite song of mine on the album is On the Rebound, and I think the lyric is, good loving can be found on the rebound. Am I remembering the lyric right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, well, all right, brother man.
That's a good line.
That's a great line. You know, the tune is really driving, almost punky. It's a great anthem for the recent lonely. What's the story on the rebound?
Well, it's actually a cover version of that song, would you believe it? It's by a guy by the name of Dave Cloud. I don't know if you know about that guy.
Tell me. I don't. I want you to tell me about him.
Yeah, from the US. He's an underground sort of garage punk rock artist from Nashville, from what I can gather. And, just one of those sort of underground musicians that I was given an album by him. It's a great little album. It's pretty rough and ready kind of record. Sounds like it was done fairly live. And I have this song called On the Rebound. Now, the version that is on that record is a lot more, I guess, unhinged in a way. I just took what I could out of it. I'd like you say, I love that line, and just like the song, and we turned it into one of our own.
Yeah. So tell me again, what is his name?
Dave Cloud.
Dave Cloud. Well, yes, you were talking about your kind of your formative music years, and you mentioned Billy Thorpe. And I was listening to your track "Getting Through" off the new album, and some of the kind of the stereo fading, from one speaker to the other, suddenly reminded me of "Children of the Sun." Billy Thorpe record. So what's funny to me is I was going to ask you about Billy Thorpe, but obviously you're very aware of Thorpe. That album, Children of the Sun, that came out in Australia. Was that a big record over there?
Well, to be honest, I don't really know that record that well. I think that's when Billy went and lived in the US for a while and made some albums there.
Right. Well, in fact, the reason I bring that up is that he was on Capricorn Records, which is out of Macon, Georgia, and Otis Redding's manager, Phil Walden, ran the label, and it was getting Tidal Tribe was getting a lot of airplay, and then Capitol Records went out of business, and the record just, it sort of stymied his career here, but the radio stations, like the AOR rock stations, had the track and they were just playing it all the time. But there was no way to purchase the records. And at that time, there were 8 tracks, but like nobody even had cassette tapes really to in their cars or anything. I can remember. Anyway, it was like a big deal where I was in Atlanta. We were hearing the song all the time, and
we didn't know anything about the guy. You know, it was just a lot of this. It was listed all, you know, if you're like 8 years old, 10 years old, and he's got all of his kind of like a Hendrix sort of phasing and stuff going on and fading with the guitar effects. It was just like awesome. But I didn't realize that he had come to the U.S. around that time.
Yeah, from what I can gather, someone might be able to correct me, but Billy was, I would say, he's an Australian legend, rock legend, who started in the sort of early to mid 60s, and was quite a big pop star. He had a couple of hits with covers like Poison Ivy. He had Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs was the band, and he did a version of Over the Rainbow, which was quite a big hit. Things like the Mashed Potato and all that kind of thing. And then after the sort of mid-60s success, he sort of came back, slight late 60s. He came back in the early 70s with a heavier kind of blues, heavy rock sound. And it was the same band, like Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs, maybe some different members. And he was very, he was one of the sort of figureheads of that kind of movement. We had these festivals here called Sunbury, which I guess were kind of like Woodstock.
Yeah.
But they happened a little bit later. And he was like the, you know, main headliner, Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs. And he came back with, you know, really long hair and a beard and everything. And this biggest hit was a song called Most People I Know Think I'm Crazy. And, he had quite a career. And he was noted for being one of the loudest bands in the land at the time. People, it's a bit before my time, because I wasn't old enough to go and see him play, and he would tour, and obviously back in those days used to carry around huge equipment, like big stacks of Marshalls or Strauss amps or something. I think Strauss was the Australian equivalent of these amplifiers. But, you know, I was very fascinated by those bands, and he was pretty much the king of that movement, that scene. You can see a lot of his stuff again on YouTube, and he's playing on this show called GTK, which I was telling you about.
Right.
And, he was around for a while, and then I think the band, it was a four-piece to begin with, had a keyboard player, and then it became a three-piece. And, made a few albums, and then I heard he went to the States to try and sort of see how he would go with his career there. And that's when you're telling me about these albums that he did there that I know of, but I haven't heard them.
Yeah.
You've got a tracking copy.
Well, it's just been reissued in like, I can't remember whether it's in print now or not, but as you just mentioned, YouTube, yeah, those tracks are all online. You can listen to it, track them down that way. You mentioned being in Madrid and about to do kick off a tour with the Stems. I saw an online listing for Datura 4 playing in Fremantle like in August. Do you have any other shows with the Datura 4 upcoming?
Oh, just a few at the moment, just local. I just have these other things going on at the moment. The Stems have become more active right now.
Yeah.
So we've got this tour going on, and then when we get back to Australia, we've got something coming up in October, and then at the end of the year we're doing a national run with the Hoodoo Gurus. So this year's pretty much taken up with Stems activity, although I'll still be checking in with the Datura 4 to do some shows, and hopefully when the Stem stuff is all done and dusted, we'll pick that up and maybe do some touring around that.
Well, let me ask, so I know the Stems have been to Europe before, and of course you're over there now in Spain. Has the Datura 4 gone abroad?
Yeah, we've been over twice. The first time was 2018, I think it was, and then we were here in 2023.
When was the last time you performed in the U.S., any of your bands?
That would have been DM3. We came over for South by Southwest, and we did a show in New Jersey as well. On the way through, we came through the US and did South by Southwest, and then we went up to New York. We did Maxwell's, and then we hopped over to Europe. We did Spain, and then across to Japan and back home. Yeah, I think that was the last time. It would have been 2013, I think.
So, Mike, did you play with the Insomniacs when you were up there at Maxwell's?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, the Wojciechowski brothers, Dave and Bob.
Yes, that's right. Great guys.
Yeah, absolutely great guys. So I was going to ask you what's going on with, like, the Stems, the DM3. You've kind of given us a roadmap what the Stems have been up to. Are there any other new projects you have in the works?
Well, the Stems are working on an album, and we've just released a single called Your Kind of Love, which came out, maybe a week and a half ago. Seems to be doing quite well. I did the solo record, which came out last year. So that's it really at the moment. I'm concentrating. The Stems of sort of having a little bit of a time in the sun, you might say. We're getting a bit of, people are sort of keen to see us play. And we played some shows in Perth just before we left to come over. And they all sold out, which was great. And we've got this stuff coming up at the end of the year with the Hoodoo Gurus, which should be quite big. The De Chura 4 is pretty much what I'm to at the moment. The solo album was something I did, and that seemed to go down pretty well as well. But I had a tour planned for April, which I was coming to Europe. I had some dates here, and then we had to can it because of what was going on in the Middle East. The airline that we were flying was going right through that area, and the airline decided to cancel our flights. So,
The other track I want us to hear off the new album, High on the Lowbrow, is called Another Fool's Gate. Love the groove in there. And again, the lyrics, are you intent on tempting fate? What lies beyond another fool's gate? Well, speaking for this fool, I'm certainly wondering. Can you tell me something about that tune?
Sure, yeah. Well, that's the first one that I wrote for the album. That song had been around for a little while, and I brought that to the band. And again, that song took quite a while to pull together, as you could probably imagine, because there's quite a bit to it. It's quite a big song, that one, and we just wanted to get that one right because it has various tempo changes, and it really breaks out there into some really wild soloing by Bob, the keyboard player. So, again, it's the song is sort of loosely based on, you know, sort of following people that are not quite right in today's sort of political environment. Be careful of what you hear, what you see, and make up your own, and just don't go following things like blindly. I guess that's the story behind that song. I like that track. It's it came out pretty well in the end.
And also, love, you mentioned, can you remind us the name of the keyboard player? Is it Bob? It was Bob. Was it Bob?
Bob Patient. Well, funny enough, Bob, I was describing the scene, in Perth and in Australia at the time of that sort of progressive blues rock scene that kind of started, maybe you could say, late 60s, but then peaked about 75. Bob was sort of on the end of that, and he played in that band Fatty Limpkin that I mentioned, and he also plays with a blues guitarist by Dave Hole, who I think has got a bit of a profile in the US. And he's a fantastic keyboard player. He's pretty much on all over everything, really. He can play really nice piano, rock and roll piano, great Hammond organ, electric piano, and all the other keyboards like clavinets and Moogs and what have you. So he's just great because when he joined the band and he came in during the Blessed Is the Boogie album, we'd had another guitar player previous, and we parted company, and we got Bob in to sort of do some session work, because previous to that, the other guitar player that was in the band wouldn't entertain having keyboards on the album. So once he was gone, it just opened it all up for me, and I thought, well, I'm going to get Bob in and we're going to expand these songs with some keyboards. And he ended up joining the band. And, of course, that just sort of broadened the horizons of the songwriting for me. Just gave me infinite possibilities and ideas to, yeah, just to have fun and explore, yeah, just writing songs. For me, it's always been melody, good riffs, you know, that really has to push the song along. It's not just, you know, going in there and playing a million notes or showing what a great musician you are. It's you've got to have a great song to sort of push what you're trying to do. So, and I try and make every song different and unique. So it's not all samey, but it's tied by a sort of, I guess, something that's a constant sort of feel or style of the band or the songs that I write. But I try and make it interesting.
The only thing I wanted to just reinforce from my end is that the keyboards, especially like the Hammond sound with this whole sort of, we call it a genre or not, but that era of music you're talking about, the heavy guitars and the Hammond in there, is just, I mean, it's so tasty.
it's a great combination. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Dom, I want to thank you again for joining me on today's Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. Thanks for having me again.
We're going to give a listen now to Another Fool's Gate. It's Datura 4 off the new album High on the Low Brow in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Some of the tune, Another Fool's Gate, off the new album High on the Low Brow. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Dom Mariani for joining me today for our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Earlier this year, I got to see Buzzcocks performing on the Underground Garage Cruise, and that was awesome. The band has also got a new album out this year, Attitude Adjustment. We're going to find out all about it. Founding member Steve Dickel joins me for our next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.